Have you been Dungeon Master curious for some time, but have been too afraid or overwhelmed to try it out once and for all? Would you like some helpful tips to get the ball rolling and to start your first Dungeons & Dragons Dungeon Master session? Today's episode is all about first-time Dungeon Master tips. We're going to walk through some things that I wish I knew when I first started out, and things that, if you follow my advice, will make your first session more fun and easier. This is How to Be a Better DM, the podcast for overwhelmed and confused Dungeon Masters who just want to finally start completing their campaigns. I'm your host, Justin Lewis, and I've been a DM for over 3 years now, and with my co-hosts, Tanner Whalen and Caden Otley, we've been able to help Dungeon Masters overcome these types of challenges and have more fun playing D&D for over 140 episodes now. So, all that said, let's get to helping you. First thing, though, I do want to mention, come back tomorrow for a special episode. That's right, a bonus episode, not on a Thursday, coming out tomorrow. But as I go through these tips, I want you to know that these tips are just guidelines. You don't feel like you have to follow them, or each and every one of them even, as if they were gospel truth, right? Go with what feels right for you and what's going to give you the biggest bang for your buck, so to speak, right? And we're going to go through these somewhat fast because I know you have very little time. Tip number one, go slow and deliberate. And maybe this is just a struggle that only I face, but I find that I tend to rush my words as if my tongue was falling down a hill or something. I start off slow, and then I gradually speed up and speed up and speed up and set up. And instead, I would recommend taking the opposite approach. So just pause, breathe, slow down. The purpose of this tip isn't to make you Dungeon Master slower. Instead, it's to, one, help you stay calm and collected, hence the breathing, and two, it's to help you do things deliberately rather than reactionary. When you're a deliberate DM, you have the presence of mind to add in those important details that make immersion so much more possible. Number two, follow the fun. Sometimes as a DM, we fall into the trap of thinking that just because we prepared something, or we wrote it down, or if it's in the module, that means we have to do it. Wrong. You are the curator of the gaming experience at your table. That means if anyone is not having fun, you can do something about it. That also means if you are not having fun, you can skip the boring bits and get to the good stuff. In fact, I would say that if your table does seem to be in somewhat of a rut, jump forward. Skip past some of the boring stuff. That's why montages were invented. Follow the fun. Do whatever is the most fun as much as possible, and skip everything else. Number three, let your players do some of the work. Though you are the DM, you don't need to be the only person at the table pulling your weight. You don't need to come up with every NPC and every shop name. You can outsource that to some of your players. And in a different way, when you coach your players through writing backstories, you are outsourcing some of the story as well. See, if they write a good backstory, all you need to do is pull important points from it, and then you create encounters, and half the work is already done. The last way to get your players to do just some of the work is by slowly coaching and incentivizing, that's a good word, incentivizing them to do wonderful role-playing. That's why the mechanic of inspiration was invented. It's to incentivize good role-playing. So train them. And then from time to time, they'll go into a roleplay session, and you honestly won't have to do very much at all. Tip number four. This one's actually really, really important. Do homebrew early and often. This is a very important tip, in my opinion. And you actually might hear this on my DM Rules, Dungeon Master Rules series on Instagram that I do. But I'm going to say it here again. Building out homebrew creations is a very involved process. Asterisk. Right? It depends. But more than anything, you want what you create to be balanced and not break the game and be perfect for the encounter you build the thing for. And really, the hardest part about making homebrew stuff is making it balanced. It takes time. The higher level characters you have, the more powerful the homebrew stuff you create will need to be to challenge them. So as the homebrew stuff gets higher leveled, it's going to get more complicated. Do you follow? So higher characters equals higher homebrew equals more complexities. If you can start building out homebrew things early on, both in your DMing career and in any particular campaign, you're going to get better at making homebrew things that are balanced. Your skill will improve at a rate comparable to the rate of progression in any given campaign, and your homebrew creations will have a better chance of staying created well and balanced and fit for any given campaign or encounter you create. Do homebrew early and often. Tip number 5, read everything you can. As a DM, you have to know a lot and create a lot. And someone once said, I don't know where I heard it, but we don't create anything anymore. Instead, they said that we synthesize it. We take parts from things that we've seen and we mish it together in very interesting and creative ways. I don't know if that's true, but you certainly need to take time to read and learn as much information as possible. Everything in your brain is going to come together to help you make better and better stories. So when it comes to D&D source books and modules, this rule still applies, even if you are a homebrew fanatic, right? Why reinvent the wheel? You know, why create new mechanics for things that already exist, right? For example, I tried creating mechanics for having a werewolf in your party when someone out there, probably multiple people out there, have done that already. So save yourself some time and energy. Read everything you can in the vein of creations for D&D. That will save you a lot of time. Also, read everything you can outside the world of D&D as well. Because who knows if some random college textbook about physics is going to give you some sort of encounter idea involving a really cool black hole monster or something like that, right? That sounds super cool. The possibilities are endless, but sometimes they just need a spark to get started. So read everything to get that spark. Tip number 6, spend some time every day writing. While everyone has their own method of session or campaign prep, all methods involve practice. And as a DM, you are in some way, shape, or form a wordsmith. You will use words to craft your tales and design the experiences of the table. By spending a little bit of time every day, at least doing some writing, you are going to start training yourself how to put words together. And most of us are adept at speaking, but when you really look at your words, sometimes they're not really exactly what you want them to be. Right? Daily writing practice can start to help you make sure every word deserves to be said. Daily writing practice can also go a long way to helping you avoid writer's block and burnout. Burnout can occur when you're not really being emotionally rewarded by any emotionally taxing activity, like being a dungeon master. Writer's block happens when you don't know what should happen next. This combination is deadly. With a daily writing practice, you can push yourself past that because writing words, regardless of how good they are, will push you past that. When it comes to writer's block, sometimes all you need to do is get out 1,000 words of utter garbage to find those 200 words of pure gold. When it comes to burnout, splitting your session prep into multiple days is going to make sure that, for one, it happens, and for two, it's going to make sure that you spend some time every day thinking about the game. This combination is going to reap dividends in the long run. Tip number seven, foundation first. Always work on your story first, along with character and conflict. If you want to go back to Creative Writing 101 to think about this, then perfect. Because before you start worrying about putting those LED lights that are super cool up in your game room, you better darn well make sure that you know what sort of things might be happening in the session and the campaign. Because at its core, D&D is a cooperative storytelling experience. That experience doesn't happen if you haven't written the story. Tip number 8, details make it incredible. Once you do have that foundation, that story, the conflict, the plot, the characters, anything else, then you can add in those cool, very important details. For example, planning on giving the party some sort of letter within the story? Maybe you should take some time to actually write the letter out. You know, make it parchment or something like that. And let me be clear, this step only happens after you have the story and the general session prepared. But details are what takes a good game to being a great game. This is what you do when you have extra time, when you've prepped and you're ready and you have extra time. This is not what you do when you first start a campaign. And let me be also clear, details can also mean finer details within the world-building context. So, in your area that your characters are in, the local dialect has people say this word often. That's a detail that your players will remember. You don't necessarily have to make actual props.
Hello, this is Tanner, and I wanted to introduce you to the character I'm playing for our live play D&D campaign on the Pact and Boon podcast. His name is Wolfgang Kindstotter. He's a Dampir, meaning his father was a vampire and his mother was a human. He was raised in a noble family of vampires that specializes in providing mercenaries for both nobles and criminals, which is where he learned his skills to become a ranger, at least when he wasn't being bullied by his half-siblings. All that changed, of course, when he got sent to the Nine Hells of Kalignos, where our story begins. If you'd like to follow along with our adventures, please check out our new live play podcast, Pact and Boon, when it comes out this Friday, the 5th of April, 2024. Go to sessionzerostudios.com/PactNBoon to get more info. We are so excited to share our adventures with you.
Tip number 9, always be meeting people. As a DM, you always want to have your dance card full. And what that means is you have players, an unending supply of players who want to play in your games. The best way to do that is to keep yourself open to new relationships and friendships all the time, which is actually a lesson I'm learning personally from people like Caden, who is one of the hosts on our show. When out in public or in other areas, make sure to be open to making friends with random strangers. Keep yourself safe at all times, obviously, but be open to sharing your hobbies. You are going to be surprised at who reacts favorably. There's going to come a time when you share some hobby, and then someone will say, "I've always wanted to try D&D. That's when you invite them to play in your game, if you have room. Or at the very least, you write a list of people that could play, should you have a spot open up, but you vetted them, you know that they want to try it, and honestly, they're just waiting for a phone call from you. Always be open to meeting new people. Tip number 10, make your player characters the stars. Your player characters are the PCs. That's what player character stands for. They are not the NPCs. So they should get the most screen time out of any character in the game. And even more than that, every character, every player character should feel like their character was just the character needed in any given encounter, story arc, session, or campaign. And to do this, you should learn about your character's backstory. You should dive in. You should also spend some time in their character sheets, learning what they can do. You do this so that you can introduce elements in your game that would let your characters shine or maybe poke at their weaknesses in a perfect way. A perfect example of this is if you have a paladin in your group, then you absolutely should be fighting undead at some point because paladins get extra benefits against undead. Same with clerics. You want your paladin to feel like, wow, I was exactly what we needed in that encounter. Make your player characters shine. Tip number 11, know what you're good at. As a DM, you will have many strengths and many weaknesses, so get a good understanding early on of what you're good at. You'll likely be good at a few different things. Take these things and sprinkle them liberally throughout your sessions. And then take some time to work on your weaknesses, because there's nothing wrong with working on your weaknesses. But there's also nothing wrong with doubling down on what you're good at from the very beginning. Because you're good at it. You'll likely have fun doing it. And your players will likely have fun playing through it. So know what you're good at. Tip number 12, don't try to have the best session ever. This is the idea of trying to force it. If you've ever tried to force anything in your life, it doesn't work. You know that. Instead, focus on each element of the game and do your best there. This is the idea of the flow state. Get into your flow state. Rather than thinking, this session is going to be the best session ever, think, you know, how can I improve this one character over here, this one NPC. Doing that will make sure that you don't try too hard. And because D&D never works for people who try too hard. It's a proven fact, right? So don't try to have the best session ever. Tip number 13, steal ideas. Asterisk. Always take inspiration from cool things that you've seen, done, experienced, read about, heard, tasted, smelt, all the things. There is one exception, though. If you are trying to make money with your D&D game somehow, then don't do this unless you have the rights to any particular intellectual property, right? Otherwise, full-on copy the coolest stories you've ever heard of. There's nothing wrong with that. And actually, in some way, many of us play D&D so that way we can live out those cool stories that we love so much, right? How cool would it be to fight next to Driz Doerden, the dark elf from the Underdark? Use that feeling and make the game fun for your players. So steal ideas. Tip number 14, it is okay to look things up. Let me tell you, no one knows all the rules by heart. And that person who does know the rules by heart, they probably aren't that fun to play with anyways. So it's okay to look up rules. In fact, it's okay to look up rules in the middle of a game, in the middle of combat. Just tell your players to wait for a second and entertain themselves because they're adults and they should be able to handle that while you look up the rule. Also, don't forget to breathe. You'll find an answer within about 5 to 10 minutes and then the game will proceed. It's not a big deal. And even if the first session is literally just you looking up stuff the whole time, whatever, that's fine. Because next session, you're going to look up less things. Because every time you look something up, you'll learn a little bit more and become a little bit more confident and the game will get better. So just remember, it's okay to look things up. Tip number 15, success is measured by people's enjoyment. Your D&D game is not a TV show. It's not a YouTube channel, so you don't need to worry about people outside your group. It's not going to get canceled. Instead, know that you are a success if the people in your group are laughing, talking, and enjoying themselves, and most importantly, they want to come back. You know you are a successful Dungeon Master if you the DM, are enjoying yourself. And the best success measure is if someone in the group says or feels, I can't wait until next session. That's how you know you're a successful DM. So remember, success is measured by people's enjoyment. Tip number 16, you will get better. I don't know who needs to hear this one, but no matter who you are, no matter what you are, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, I said that already, but all the things, you will get better. Even if you're the first time DM, never done anything like this before, you will get better. And even if you feel like you're the worst DM in the world, you will get better. Every session, every encounter, every second will see you as a better DM than the last. And right now you might be thinking that this is too hard or that there are too many rules or, you know, the hobby's too saturated or that no one wants another actual play show. Maybe that one's just me. But don't worry, you'll get it. You can't see it right now, but there's going to come a time when you look back and you think, geez, I've come a really long way. So promise me, don't give up. You will get better. Tip number 17, you make the rules. No matter what anyone else says, you make the rules at your table. Other people might get to vote on whether or not they like those rules just by showing up to play with you or not. But at the end of the day, you're the DM, you make the rules. Whatever works at your table works. It doesn't matter what I or anyone else says. You know, I'm just kind of like an armchair quarterback right now telling you what to do. And you're the actual one in the game. So you're the one making decisions and you're the one telling the story. You don't need me to tell you that you're doing it wrong because guess what? You aren't. You're doing it right because you're the one doing it. So trust yourself. Make the rules and remember that you are the Master Commander. If you haven't heard that or seen that YouTube video, let me know. Reach out to me on Instagram. It's a great YouTube video. But yeah, number 17, you make the rules. Tip number 18, commit. I've been talking a lot about this one lately. Commit. With everything you do in your D&D game, commit to it. Whether it's the little funny voices that you wanted to do or some other gimmicky prop. If you go in half-hearted, your players are going to register that, and they're going to behave accordingly. They're going to not really go in fully. But if you, on the other hand, go in and you treat it like a serious thing, your players may giggle a little bit, and they'll have some fun. But then, when it comes to it, they'll realize that it is a serious thing, and that you've committed to give them 110%. They're going to reach inside themselves and do the same thing. Long-term commitment beats raw talent every time. Commitment is what gave us Hannah Montana and the Jonas Brothers, for better or worse. But more importantly, commitment is how those two brands, Hannah Montana and Jonas Brothers, became wildly wealthy and successful. They committed to what they were doing and people paid them money. So, commit. Tip number 19, make it your own. You're the Dungeon Master. You may be playing someone else's module or taking ideas from something else, but make it your own. You get to do whatever you want, right? So who says Waterdeep needs to be on the Sword Coast? Who says Driz Doordon needs to be a good guy? Who says you can't even kill the Raven Queen? You're the Dungeon Master. You get to choose everything. I mean, almost everything, because obviously there are still players. But you get to choose basically everything. So make it your own. Tip number 20, listen to podcasts and watch YouTube videos, wink, wink. I know this tip is somewhat self-promotional, and obviously you should keep listening to How to Be a Better DM, because let's face it, we do have quite amazing content. And obviously you should tune into our actual play D&D show, Pact and Boon, when it releases very, very, very soon, wink, wink. But more than that, you should just keep listening and watching to everything you like. Every D&D show that you consume can help you improve your game, even if it's just by 1%. More on that later. Watch shows like this that give you tips. Listen to the actual play D&D shows that are so popular. Or just consume shows that focus on world building or story writing or terrain building or anything else, right? Maybe watching NCIS will help you be a better Dungeon Master. All of it can help. And frankly, whatever you like, that's going to make the game that much more fun. So keep doing it. These tips might seem simple, but at their heart, they're powerful. They will help you tell better stories and Dungeon Master better than you've ever DM'd before. Your friends are going to start asking you to be their DM, not because you're the only DM they know, but because you're the best DM they know. Keep practicing, keep playing, and let me leave you with just one more bonus tip. If you can make every session just 1% better, pretty soon, you will be the world's greatest DM. So don't do it all at once. Instead, just focus a little here, a little there, and never stop DMing. These 20 tips that I've shared with you, they won't make you a great DM today, but they will make you a better DM by and by. Follow these tips, and I promise you, you'll skip so many mistakes that I've made personally, and actually start to find your own tips that maybe could be added to this list. And when you do, I'd love to hear them. As a host of this show, I've had people who've been playing D&D for 20 plus years reach out and thank me for the tips I've shared on this show. On the flip side, I've heard incredible tips and techniques from Dungeon Masters who've been playing for only like a year. No matter who you are, no matter how long you've been playing, you have something to offer this hobby, so don't hide it. Go and DM and show the world and your table just how awesome you are. Just let me know how it goes when you do, because I count myself lucky to be able to hop on this microphone and talk to you like I do every week. I love doing this, and I'm grateful that you've given me this opportunity. You know, you listen to me, giving me your attention. It's such a precious commodity in this day and age, actually an irreplaceable treasure. So I regard your gift as sacrosanct. And I can assure you that my other co-hosts, Tanner and Caden, we recognize the great trust you put in us. And we do everything in our power to make sure that every time you put your headphones on and you hear, "Welcome back to How to Be a Better DM," you're getting the best experience possible. And you know, we're going to continue doing that week in and week out, so thank you. Thank you for your support. We're going to be back next week to delight, instruct, entertain you. But until then, let's go ahead and roll initiative. Do you love these podcast episodes but aren't always able to listen to them? Do you learn better reading information rather than listening to it? Here's what you can do. Go to sessionzerostudios.com/newsletter. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get tips and tricks sent directly to your inbox in written format that you can read and reference whenever you want. You'll get tips that we don't share on the podcast and bonus techniques that frankly no one has ever heard before. Again, sessionzerostudios.com/newsletter, and get those free tips and techniques right to your inbox every week.